fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Hey, what happens to D'Angelo Williams when Le'Veon Bell gets back? What happens to Spencer Ware when Jamal Charles gets back? What happens to the Fantasy Football Today podcast when Dave Richard gets back? We'll find out right now. Hey, welcome back, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's better to be here than in a hospital.
Okay, so you basically made this joke about me having appendicitis a few weeks ago, and the stomach gods punished you. So how are you? What happened? What's going on?
I'm good. I was in some severe stomach pain last Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah, you said it on the air.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling good at all. After Fantasy Football Today, I got back to my desk and I got the chills. I definitely had a fever. I got the hell out of here. 2 hours later, I'm in a hospital gown at the ER at the hospital near my house, and I'm being checked out for an appendectomy. However, my appendix is fine.
Woo!
After going through a CAT scan and all the other fancy things that, you know, our favorite athletes go through when they get banged up, all my organs are fine. And I was diagnosed with a minor case of diverticulitis. Same thing that Brock Lesnar had, except he lost like organs over it. I'm okay. I just needed antibiotics. Needed to rest for a couple of days. Had some side effects from the medication, but I was back at it on Sunday on FFT, and now I'm back at it here on the podcast. Thank you to everybody who sent well wishes, and that's that.
Well, we're very happy to have you back. We're going to recap the Monday night games. Why can't there be two Monday night games every week? That's what I'm saying. And we're going to talk about some fab dollars, how to spend them, and who to pick up. I'll ask you guys, we'll start the show with this, and we'll come back to the waiver wire a little bit later after we get through the games and the notes. But and it's also Team Name Tuesday. But who are your top three waiver wire priorities for this week? Heath, you haven't spoken yet. Give me three waiver wire priorities.
Well, I'm going to talk personally because I had a ton of Zach Ertz. So
me too.
I had to go find a tight end, and it seems like it was in my deeper leagues. So one guy that I find myself putting a lot of claims in for, you know, I lost RG3 off my rosters, so I need another guy that's going to get injured next week. I really like the idea of starting Dennis Pitta against the Browns this week.
He
played a lot more than I expected it to him to in week one. It's a terrible Browns defense. I think the Ravens scored plenty of points. At this point, if you're looking for a tight end to pick up, you're looking for a tight end that has a chance to score a touchdown this week.
Yeah.
Right. Who's going to make more trips to the red zone than a team playing the Browns?
I
kind of like Dennis Pitta. Now, for a more,
it's not bad deep leagues.
Right.
You're taking him over, let's say, like Jesse James, or
I would definitely take him over Jesse James.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
But then more conventionally, I definitely want to go get some Travis Benjamin. Looking at the targets that we talked about this on the show yesterday, the targets that the number one in San Diego got when Keenan Allen went down last year, Benjamin's better than both of those guys. I think he's pretty much a lock for 8 to 10, maybe more targets each week. Very nice add in PPR.
Okay. That was two. That'll suffice. Jamie,
thanks.
Jamie, how about two or three from you?
I think, you know, it's not a bad idea to speculate on the receivers. I'll go with a little bit deeper ones. Eli Rogers, for sure. I was pleasantly pleased after writing about him in my sleepers column that he came through. The touchdown's fluky. Forget about that.
But the ricochet.
The targets were nice. He's clearly their slot guy.
And you can tell Ben likes him.
Yeah, and it was unfortunate, the interception. There was some miscommunication there between him and Rodgers. You saw they came out with their next two drives with Rodgers wasn't on the field. It was a lot of two and three tight end sets, and they were very run heavy. But he's clearly a focal point of that offense, and so he's only owned in 13% of leagues. If you can get Travis Benjamin, do it, but also look at Tyrell Williams. He's also going to be a target magnet. That's somebody I think you can also say in deeper PPR leagues, if you lost Keenan Allen, certainly 14-team leagues or larger. And then I like these tight ends. I mean, we talked about them coming into week one. Jesse James, Vance McDonald, these guys all got good opportunities. And Kyle Rudolph, too. I mean, you look at the passing game for Minnesota. They don't have anybody. It's Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph right now. Now, maybe we'll see more of Laquon Treadwell or Charles Johnson gets going. But I think whether it's either Sean Hill or Sam Bradford, and certainly Sam Bradford's track record tends to lean toward throwing to the tight end, and North Turner's offense tends to lean on featuring the tight end. Kyle Rudolph, especially for this week, is a good streaming option.
I hate the tight ends because, like, honestly, how good could they be? And I get what you're saying, Jamie, but as a guy who also lost a lot of Zach Ertz, I was on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network this morning with Greg Sussman and Jake Seeley, and I only mentioned that because they brought something up. I don't want to take credit for it, and it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I'll let you guys weigh in on it. If you're the Ertz owner, you need a tight end, trade for Gary Barnage. Now that RG3 is out and McCown comes in, I think, you know, you got an opportunity to get him for pennies on the dollar.
But how many people, though, that drafted Gary Barnage, drafted two tight ends, and are going to part with Gary Barnage to get one of these other guys?
They'll part with Gary Barnage if you put an offer in front that they go, wow, really? I can get that for Gary
Barnage.
But it doesn't have to be like a blowaway deal. It's got to be something.
You're the Gary Barnage owner, right?
Sure.
Okay. You don't realize Josh McCown was better for Gary Barnage than what RG3 potentially was.
Okay. So I'm just a general casual guy.
Right. You lost week one. Gary Barnage on your team. Don't know
and
the history.
He got me a zero. So this is clearly a guy that I'm not.
Don't know the history
about.
Of Gary Barnage.
Right.
So I'm the Gary Barnage owner.
No, I'm the Gary Barnage owner.
You're the Gary Barnage owner. You want a tight end in return, right?
I mean, feasibly, sure.
Okay, so I'm Zach Ertz owner. I don't have anything to give you.
But the premise is that the Gary Barnage owner might be dropping Gary Barnage.
Exactly. You're beating me to dropping Gary Barnage because this was a scrub I was going to drop anyway to go get Kyle Rudolph.
Totally understand that. But as the Gary Barnage owner, I would want a tight end in return.
Yeah, but maybe he was going to get one anyway.
If I'm getting... A player that just had a great week one, a Will Fuller, for example.
Yeah,
I could look at that and say, all right, well, now I get Will Fuller, and I'll go find a tight end off the waiver.
So
maybe
here,
you even mention that in the trade-off.
Here's the problem is that the Gary Barnage owner, the Kobe Fleener owner, the Martellus Bennett owner, all these guys that got burned by starting, quote-unquote, starting tight ends, are going to go pick up Jack Doyle. That's what's going to happen. They're going to go pick up Jack Doyle.
I've got a lot of questions about Jack Doyle.
And so let them go pick up Jack Doyle. I don't know if I'm the Gary Barnage owner. If I'm trading for something and not getting a tight end in return in the trade, it's easy to say.
An overpay.
Huh?
Not unless it's an overpay. It's got to be something.
But I think even the casual fan is going to look at it and say, I need a tight end.
Okay, I understand.
But don't a lot of casual fans also draft two tight ends?
Can we at least agree, though, with the premise that Barnage's value goes up and if you can get him, this
would
be a good time to do it?
So is Duke Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you say Josh Gordon's a sell high?
I would not.
No, I think even Josh McCown knows that he's got to chuck it that way. And they're going to be playing from behind so often.
Okay, so maybe Barnage gets dropped and you can pick him up off waivers in a couple of days. That's another option there. But we'll get into more tight ends later. Dave, give me a few guys that you'd be looking to pick up this week.
You got the running backs like Tevin Coleman and Theo Riddick. They wouldn't be priorities for me, but they would definitely be two guys that I would look to just pad my bench with. I mentioned Will Fuller. He's owned in a bunch of leagues. Mohamed Sanu, if he comes out healthy, I think he's going to end up being a pretty decent option in that Atlanta offense. And I think he might be fairly consistent, somewhere around 7 to 11 fantasy points per week, just because I think the Falcons are going to have to throw quite a bit. Chris Hogan at 39% owned, I think could end up being a real good option once Tom Brady comes back. And we talked about a lot of tight ends. I like them too, Jesse James, Kyle Rudolph. One more, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it, Jamie, is Clive Walford in Oakland.
Get rid of him.
Target? Why?
He only had four targets in the game.
He was targeted near the end zone. He definitely had a red zone target in the game. Plays Atlanta this week. That's a good streaming option. I think they go right back to him against the Falcons team that allowed two touchdowns to tight ends last week.
Yeah, he almost caught a touchdown.
Right.
He's almost always caught a touchdown.
What are you going to drop him for Jesse James?
Heavy again.
Why would you drop him? I mean, that feels like an overreaction.
It feels like I'd rather be the one that's getting more targets on a consistent offense that features a tight end.
Yeah, like right now you want to look at Clive Walford and call him a streaming option, whereas Jesse James, I think, still has longer appeal for the full season by a little bit, not by a lot.
How many targets did James get yesterday? He had 5 catches for 31 yards.
He also had an end zone target.
Yeah, without Marcus Wheaton, without Le'Veon Bell.
He plays a ton.
Well, I mean, you're making it seem like they don't use their tight end.
I mean, I feel like they use their tight end
when they had Martavis Bryant and Le'Veon Bell.
I feel like we have overrated Heath Miller as a fantasy option. I mean,
Jesse James had 7 targets last night. He was tied for 3rd on the team. Brown had 11. D'Angelo had 9. Rodgers and James had 7.
Basing it on 1 week, though, but.
No, I'm basing it on the offense.
Okay.
I'd rather have Ladarius Green than Clive Walford.
Can I ask another question? Do you cut Zach Ertz? Because now the report
shallow leagues,
is that he's going to miss an extended period of time.
yeah,
the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, there's some places you don't have a choice. I'm not going to cut somebody else I may be starting in a couple weeks.
What a nightmare if you drafted Ertz and Eifert, thinking, well, I got a stud tight end for now and one for later, and now you've got two guys that are on the bench.
What about Trey Burton? Do you think he could fill in as a PPR guy for Philadelphia?
I don't know if he's healthy.
He's expected to play from what I read this morning.
I would still expect Celek to get more snaps and more targets.
Okay. I don't know about the targets, but definitely the snaps. Not that that matters. You don't get points
well,
for snaps.
That's tight end for you. More on that in a bit. Let's get into the news and notes. RG3 going to miss at least 8 games, could miss the year, fractured shoulder. So McCown now back. Anything that we haven't said, you know, it helps Barnage. It helps Duke Johnson. Anybody else affected by this?
I mean, the deep ball is going to be gone from the Cleveland offense, and that's the only thing that they could do with RG3. I would imagine that they'll be a little more efficient.
I think that the Terrell Pryor excitement takes a little bit of a hit.
Yeah, the Coleman does. All the excitement for all three of these guys, Coleman, Pryor, Gordon, I think it all drops down a little bit. And I think, but yet their speed will still theoretically keep defenses from like double covering Gary Barnage or something like that. Barnage is going to get a ton of targets. This is good for him.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Like, I don't understand why we got excited about the Browns. And then week one, they go to Philadelphia, they play a rookie quarterback, and they get destroyed by a team that was, a team that we expect to be pretty bad.
Excited about the Browns?
I was excited about the Browns. Not to the point where I was like, drafting them heavily or anything.
Right.
But I was excited about what it was going to look like. There's a lot of young talent there.
Sure, sure. And Josh Gordon made the big plays in the preseason. I guess we're all guilty of that.
Well, yeah, we haven't seen him yet. But, right. Okay. Keenan Allen out for the year. We know this. Demaryius Thomas, a question mark for week two due to a hip injury. Gary Kubiak thinks Thomas will play. Thomas isn't so sure. So if you are the Demaryius owner, you got to be making some plans today to get some depth, right? Or a starter, maybe.
If you don't have one already, sure.
Yeah. What is the latest on Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because after the report came out, Rex Ryan was... It almost sounded to me like dismissive yesterday when he was talking in his press conference.
He fumbled his way through the press conference.
It's a pain tolerance issue, I think. He's sore was the word that he used for Watkins. But the Bills are talking as if they expect him to play through it. Sammy Watkins has said he is going to play through it. It's a bad situation, but I am expecting him to play.
Well, the report came, this report came from a Jets beat writer who's very good, but was refuted almost immediately by a national reporter. And then you had all the Bills people saying, and Sammy Watkins himself saying, he expects to play. Mm-hmm. So what probably is happening is his first full game since the foot surgery. Remember, he played a limited amount of snaps in the final preseason game. And so I'm sure it hurts. I mean, the concern that I had with him initially was, and we talked about this numerous times, the last few players that have had foot surgeries, specifically Dez Bryant and Julian Edelman, required a second surgery not too long after. And so you wonder if, okay, is everything right in there? And so I think if you have Sammy Watkins, you have to just look at it on a short week, not 100%, bad offensive line, facing a team that just got, I don't say embarrassing loss, but had a tough loss. It's a bad situation to trust him, but moving forward, you just got to hope that he gets through this week and is okay.
Yeah, I don't want to really buy low on him. I'm kind of nervous. They play Thursday. That's what Jamie was referring to when they're playing against the Jets. But what do you guys think? Would you put in offers for Watkins? You staying away?
Probably wait a week. I think his value is probably lower after Thursday against
right. Because theoretically, Thursdays are when receivers don't play quite as well. It's a short week. You're expecting him to turn around and do what against the Jets? Put up 100 yards and a touchdown?
I don't know. He does get Darrell Revis. So that's a
right. Yeah,
he's got a bad history against Darrell. One game, I think, where he's played well against them.
But he almost burned him in a game where he had bad numbers
on a Thursday night.
Right.
Yep.
And it was on a Thursday night. I almost hope that they rest him.
Jamal Charles, do we think he's going to play this week?
No. Andy Reid was noncommittal. I don't see any reason in the world why they would rush him back after what they got out of Spencer Ware. I'm a Jamal Charles owner.
What is the latest on Chris Ivory, guys?
I would expect him to miss the game.
Yep. Is he still in the hospital?
Last time I heard,
he was still in the hospital, too.
Cam Newton is expected to play. Russell Wilson is expected to play. But if you owned – Wilson seems a little more iffy here. If you owned him, would you want to have another quarterback on your roster this week?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't start him if you could avoid it. He's got a bad history against the Rams. That's a pissed-off team after what happened to them. And he looked bad before he got hurt.
He didn't look good until the last drive of the game.
And the Eagles, not only did they lose Zach Ertz, their cornerback, Laiotis McKelvin, week to week with a hamstring strain. I said cornerback there. It might have sounded like quarterback. It wasn't. And Green Bay cornerback, James Shields, suffered his second concussion in 9 months. So he's going to be in the protocol, and we hope for the best for James Shields. If you are in
the two best cornerbacks in this game are going to be out.
James Shields.
He's had a terrible year.
Yeah.
Ever since the White Sox traded for him,
on the
other
hand. Right.
Sam Shields and Xavier Rhodes both may not play in this game.
Obviously, we know. Yeah, Vikings, Sunday night game, Vikings-Packers. Obviously, we know that I know who Sam Shields is. I went to college with the guy, okay? Like, I'm
and you mentioned
too.
You mentioned Julius Thomas got his ankle injury? Got an ankle injury?
No, I didn't mention that.
Yeah, he, for a guy that's got a problem with ankles, this is something to keep an eye on because he looked very good in week one.
All right, then. Fantasy basketball. We have a fantasy basketball podcast hosted by Chris Towers. It is fantasy basketball today. James Shields, huh? And we have fantasy football today, live noon Eastern on CBSSports.com, Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning. We have a Thursday night live video show as well, getting you ready for that game. And we have our radio show, Eye on Fantasy Football. San Francisco, Los Angeles, Todd Gurley. Man, the 49ers, they are just awesome against running backs at home. And terrible on the road. That was last year. Maybe it'll be different this year. But Gurley had a disappointing season. Any overall thoughts on San Francisco, Los Angeles, starting with the Rams, guys? I think I'm going crazy today. I think Gurley. I said Gurley had a disappointing season. I meant game. Sorry. Go ahead and discuss this game, and I'll shut up now.
Whenever Chris Berman can foresee your plays, it's a bad sign. And he was doing that throughout the game. He could tell that the Rams were trying to just, you know, load up and run with Gurley. Gurley ran into 8 in the box so many times. There was one time he ran into 9 in the box. And the Rams just need to go back to the drawing board with this whole offense and get a little more creative. Gurley's two best runs were self-created runs where he was just able to avoid it. The first
You're going to say that a lot this year.
Yeah. It's a little nerve-wracking. It's not enough for me to jump off the Gurley bandwagon. I would expect the Rams to eventually get it fixed. I don't know if it'll be in time for week two against Seattle, but week three at Tampa Bay, that should be a really good time to feel good about Gurley. He'll take a step forward this week. I like the fact he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Like, at least Jeff Fisher knows enough that you're down big so much, it's not even worth it. Keep Gurley on the bench.
The only thing that bothered me about Gurley, I mean, surely the Rams suck. And it's going to be games like this for him. He's also going to have monster games. I was really hoping he was going to get more involved in the passing game.
Yep.
One catch for negative 5 yards. That's bad.
Yeah, it was on the screen that the Niners snuffed out immediately.
Well, I mean, the game plan is just send 8 players at Todd Gurley because there's nobody else.
Right, until the quarterback beats you. And there were a couple of plays where Keenum hit Kenny Britt in the middle of the field. And you thought, oh, well, maybe that'll loosen up the Niners a little bit. And it did for a couple of plays, and then right back to where they were. Niners' defensive front was very good, very impressive. But I'm worried that everybody's going to look impressive against the Rams' offensive line.
Well, we just got an email, by the way, from a guy named Mark. He wants to know if you would trade Gurley for Le'Veon Bell.
I'd rather have Le'Veon. It's only 2 more games without him, and Le'Veon's the better player in a better situation.
Definitely in the better situation.
I definitely would in PPR.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm in standard. I'm ready to do it yet.
So we can talk, you know, tomorrow. Wednesdays are always a fun show. We can basically talk about whatever we want. We'll see, you know, Peterson struggled, Gurley struggled. Are we doing any long-term downgrading there? Carlos Hyde, you know, only 23 carries for 88 yards, only in terms of the yards per carry. 23 carries is great. But he scored 2 touchdowns. I thought Hyde looked great. What did you guys think?
Just hope he stays healthy.
That's the thing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he had 5 games last year, and 2 of them he produced good numbers. One, he looked great. He's one of those guys that if you get 16 games out of him, he'll be, I would say, a very fair comparison is what Latavius Murray gave you.
It was also a clinic in offensive line play. You just saw how sloppy the Rams were and how fundamentally sound the 49ers were. I mean, they hat on a hat, blocked the guy in front of you. They did a great job. Hyde also created to make some plays. Got to tip your cap. He really played well. This is his potential.
But this week is nerve-wracking because
at Carolina on
a short week. Long road trip, early start. Carolina just got embarrassed, and CJ Anderson just ran all over.
And he's at Seattle in week 3.
Yeah. Seattle wasn't that impressive, though.
Both of these teams are facing tough schedules here. The Rams have Seattle at home, at Tampa Bay, very good run defense, at Arizona, and then Buffalo. And the Niners are at Carolina, at Seattle, Dallas at home, and Arizona at home.
That's the problem with being one of the worst teams in the league, is that's one fewer worst team in the league that you get on your schedule. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's true.
Yeah,
I'd take it back. Seattle played well. Foster had one big play.
Okay, so we'll talk about Vance McDonald and Jeremy Curley in our waiver wire section. Pittsburgh 38 and Washington 16. Kirk Cousins, 9 fantasy points. He threw 43 times for 329 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Are you willing to drop Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
It's funny because when I was looking at the drop list of quarterbacks, I want to give him one more week because he's facing a bad Dallas team this week at home. And so I just, when I was writing it, I'm like, I see what's going to happen. I'm going to tell people to drop him. People are going to drop him. He's going to come out and throw the same amount of yards for 3 touchdowns and an interception against the Cowboys. They're not going to be a good running team. And so if he hits 2 touchdowns, same number, right? Because they were down there a few times.
Maybe, yeah.
I still like Jordan Reed. I still like DeSean Jackson. I thought Pierre Garçon and Jameson Crowder both played well. They can't run.
DeSean Jackson looked really good.
Yeah, he's another guy when he's healthy.
Yeah, he looks
that's also
really
a team
good.
Though. This is now 12 of 17 games where the number one receivers beat them up. So look for AJ Green to go off again.
here's the issue. You might keep Kirk Cousins. Do you start Kirk Cousins?
Well, here's the thing. We know what Phillip Rivers has been without Keenan Allen. Not good. Mm-hmm. Tyrod Taylor may lose Sammy Watkins. Sure. Not good. Look at some of the other quarterbacks that are in that mix. You know, like, especially 2 QB leagues. Like, you bought into RG3. I thought Tannehill would look a little bit better. He didn't look so good. Jay Cutler doesn't look like he's going to be very good. I don't know if Kirk Cousins over 16 games is better or worse, because it's too small of a sample size, than Joe Flacco, than Brock Osweiler, than, I don't know who else. Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that's where Kirk Cousins is, but I think his ceiling is higher because we saw it last year.
It's like there were two Cousins and Bortles were two quarterbacks that I thought could not repeat what they did in 2015.
Yes.
They played very differently.
You got your Bortles digging.
They played very differently this week, though. Bortles played well. He just didn't have the touchdowns, so his numbers didn't look good. Cousins looked awful.
Yeah, he did.
He was missing throws high, missing throws low. He looked terrible. So this wasn't a situation. I agree that if he throws it 43 times and throws for 300 yards and the touchdowns are all that matter, but I wonder next week against the Dallas offense that I don't think he'll score as many points, does he throw it 43 times?
Well, Matt Jones, I mean, would you drop Matt Jones for Theo Riddick?
In a 10-team league, especially PPR, you think you have to.
In PPR, for sure. And it's close in standard.
But again, would it shock you if he had a good game against Dallas?
No.
That's the thing.
And, I mean, he's almost like a worse version of LeGarrette Blount at this point.
And I'll tell you what.
Belly's up at the goal line. If that opportunity comes, he's going
to
score.
Unless they give to Chris Thompson again.
For his 7 carries, he didn't run poorly.
He had one
good
run. But
Chris Thompson got the short yardage touchdown.
Yeah, but that's because they were in hurry up and they just stayed their guys
on
the field.
Yeah. Okay.
And we didn't see Rob Kelly. That's another guy. It's funny. It's a shame that he didn't get any chances to play.
What do you think about Le'Veon Bell with D'Angelo Williams? What do you think about Jamal Charles with Spencer Ware? What happens to these guys when everybody's healthy or not suspended?
Well, I mean, this is a repeat of last year. Williams, awesome when Le'Veon was out. Le'Veon comes back. Williams takes a back seat.
Yeah.
But how much of a back seat does he take?
I'll say the same thing I said in the preseason.
He goes snaps a game?
He goes from a 5% contributor to a 7 to 10% contributor. That's what he is. I think they know what look, they're realistic with Le'Veon Bell. When he is on the field, he is the best running back in the NFL. But he's got an injury situation that he's dealt with the last two years. Mm-hmm. And they know they have arguably the best backup running back in football. So what happened last year? They ran him as much as they could in those first two games. Then they put him on ice and then they ran him every time Le'Veon got hurt. So run him if ever Le'Veon gets hurt and sporadically mix him in when Le'Veon's healthy.
Right.
Yeah, the thing is, they're set up to have two more really good D'Angelo weeks, because Cincinnati, we know, they're probably not going to be good against running backs without Vontaze Burfict.
Yep.
And then Philadelphia, like I said, I still expect them to have a good run defense. I mean, I did, but they weren't good against Isaiah Crowell, and you just figure that they'll put up so many points against Philadelphia.
And you know, the next week after that, I'm not sure that Kansas City at home is a bad matchup for
Wayne. But Le'Veon's back at that
point. Le'Veon's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also would imagine, look, D'Angelo is what, 33?
Right.
He doesn't want to do this.
Oh, I don't know.
No, he does. I would imagine he wants to be fresh overseas. This is also a guy, he got hurt last year too.
Right.
He wants
both
to be there.
Both of these guys did. I think they're going to manage them both.
He wants to, no, they're not going to manage Le'Veon. Their track record doesn't suggest that. It would be a dramatic change. Similar to Andy Reid. It would be a dramatic change.
Right.
If he goes away from using one guy. He talked about it going into this week. It's going to be a committee. And you saw what happened. West played a little bit on passing downs, had six catches. He did a good job, but that was a long drawn out game. Spencer Ware got the majority of the work. That's Andy Reid's track record. So I think you look at what the Steelers under Mike Tomlin with Todd Haley, they lean on one guy. It's Le'Veon Show.
You don't think it's going to be a situation where it's going to be Le'Veon for two series, D'Angelo for one.
If you were to say four series to one,
a little bit.
Four series to one, yes. Two to one,
that's
no
what it might
chance.
End up being.
No chance it's two to one.
Because Le'Veon, it makes sense for him to work the 2-minute drill too.
He works everything.
You want to put him on the field in that best situation.
He works everything, Dave. The track record suggests it.
I know, but the last year's track record was before D'Angelo Williams contributed as much as
no, he did last year.
Well, okay,
but it's not the same. They know now what they didn't know then.
D'Angelo Williams, it's not that I
want to start D'Angelo Williams.
He's worth holding on to. That's it.
D'Angelo Williams averaged 6 yards per carry in week one last year. He did not. He had a decent game, like 92 total yards in week two. He did not have the game he had last night. That's for sure. And he didn't really produce. He was good. Like I said, really good in week one, but he wasn't as good as he was down the stretch, I think, last year, or as good as he was last night. So that's just a little addendum there to what we're talking about. I don't know if that matters. Jamie thinks it does not. Dave thinks it does. Heath, I don't know, but let me ask you this. Heath, Dave, I know Dave had Gurley as his number one overall player in standard. Heath, you did too, right?
In standard, yes.
Are you willing to give that nod to Antonio Brown now?
If I had to do rest of season rankings starting right now,
yes.
Like for the last 15 games of the season.
Yes.
Right. You have to.
I think so.
You can't even call Gurley the number one running back.
Well, it's like going back to your...
That's
what I'm saying. Going back to your original question. If we're redrafting right now, I'm taking Le'Veon. Knowing that there's only two more games to miss, I'm taking Le'Veon over Gurley.
I would take David Johnson over Gurley.
I would too.
I don't.
I would take Lamar Miller over Gurley too.
I think you can.
Whoa.
Can absolutely put way too much faith into 1 week of football.
Yeah.
Which is what we've known.
Which is why I'm only going to put David Johnson.
But for me, those guys were all close.
But look at what Peterson did in week one at San Francisco last year. 31 rushing yards.
Totally. But you also know that there was at least some semblance of offensive identity for the Vikings.
But we knew this going in. It's not like we just discovered something about the Rams.
Obviously, but they took a step back from where they finished last year. Case Keenum looked competent at the end of last year.
He's not going to be – Case Keenum is either not going to be this bad or not going to be the quarterback for much longer.
Well, right. I mean, God, did you watch Hard Knocks? Because Jared Goff did not look good at all.
Yeah, I mean
– So Mannion will come in, but they're going to have a bad quarterback. We knew they were going to have a bad quarterback.
They just
need
to be a little more creative.
This was worse than bad.
That's all. And it's not like they're going to get away from Todd Gurley. It's not like he's hurt. And he's not the problem. It's everything around it.
Let's play the waiver wire. But first, I didn't have a great fantasy night last night. I had a good week, but last night, I lost two close battles. You may have had a better fantasy football night than I had, but I had a better dinner, I guarantee it. Last night was a Blue Apron night. And this week I got pork chops with spicy chow chow that had corn, parsley, peppers, sweet potatoes, Dijon mustard, a few other things. All that last night in one meal, it was great. I also have seared chicken and caramelized vegetables with roasted cherry tomatoes and mashed potatoes that I'm going to have tonight. You can have these meals too. In fact, you can have them for free. Not necessarily these. You can check out this week's menu. You can get 3 free meals at blueapron.com/FFT. I just love how creative all the meals are. I mean, there's so many fresh ingredients. I really love it, and I want all of you to try it. And like I said, there's no risk here. It's all free. 3 free meals and free shipping at blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. And let's be real. This is what you want when you're eating dinner. You want great food. You want healthy food for a low price and convenience. And Blue Apron checks all of those boxes. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. You can make delicious home-cooked meals. You won't waste food, which I love. You won't waste money. You'll enjoy cooking. It's fun. You'll get new recipes to make at a later time. I honestly, when I'm off the air, I tell everyone about Blue Apron. I'm telling you, give it a try. 3 free meals and free shipping. Who turns that down? Check out this week's menu at blueapron.com/FFT. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. BlueApron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Real quick on Team Name Tuesday, a couple of Adam Sandler references. This one's from Dan. J. Doyle rules. Good, right?
Instead of Bo Doyle, right.
This one I like a lot. It's from Chris. Tajay Jr.
I'm a sucker for those.
I might have to steal it.
I'm a sucker for those old Adam Sandler movies. So any reference to Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore, I'm a big fan of.
This is from Faux Ray Lewis. I already changed my podcast league team name to this, Faux Ray Lewis. You should know because I have him on my team. Kenny Stills, Nash and Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's.
I like it a lot.
Can I give you mine?
Yeah.
This one's courtesy of Kevin Harlan after he did a radio call of a fan on the field in last night's Rams 49ers game. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. I don't know. I don't sound good saying it, but it's Kevin Harlan. The whole call, the guy is drunk. And then at the end, he's like, he's going to the clink.
Kevin Harlan's the best.
Kevin Harlan really made a great thing happen.
Right between the eyes. And finally, CJ from Atlanta, Georgia, drafted Spencer Ware in the 8th round, drafted Derek Carr. So, dude, where's my car? That's good. Where, car? Okay, yeah. Thank you.
You really can... You should run those by us beforehand, and we'll structure them in a way to where it builds up.
No,
to
I don't want to run them by you.
So good.
I want your natural reaction.
Okay, well,
even
maybe
if it's that.
Could you try to structure them in a way to where the funny ones are last?
Funny ones are last?
Yeah.
All right, I will do that. I will do that. Quarterbacks. All right, Jamie writes the waiver wire column. You have to kind of read the column to get the specifics on, you know, does he like a guy just for this week? Does he like him long term? But Flacco is number one for you, Jamie. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Flacco at Cleveland. We saw what Carson Wentz did. Brock Osweiler. That's Kansas City at home. Ryan Fitzpatrick is at Buffalo on a short week. Alex Smith is at Houston. So luckily, I don't think people are really going to the waiver wire too much for quarterbacks this week. But Flacco, Osweiler, Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith. Let's spend less time on quarterbacks, guys. Give me your quick thoughts on this position.
You have to hate Phillip Rivers to, or somehow started RG3 or Dak Prescott in week one to consider anybody on this list as a starter this week.
I don't think I'm buying into Ryan Fitzpatrick on a short week.
No,
at
no,
Buffalo. I'd rather have Smith, Wentz, maybe even McCown.
Is it over for Phillip Rivers?
Is
without
what over?
Keenan Allen?
We'll see how good Benjamin is.
Him being a regular, I think he's matchup dependent now. He must have a good matchup.
This week's interesting.
Yeah.
You got Jacksonville on the road, young team, long trip, coming off a tough loss, and they're at home coming off a tough loss too. So
I'm looking forward to that game a lot, but mostly because I want to see Allen Robinson against Jason Verrett.
That'll be fun.
That's a fantastic matchup, and if he throws to him 15 times again, I don't know which one's going to have more catches.
I think it's safe to say... Well, it's not that safe, but Jamie's not going to be making any speeches at my rehearsal dinner in the Rivers Bortles bet.
Well, what was week one? Who had more points? Rivers? Bortles?
Rivers, I think, by like one. I don't
know.
Yeah,
Bortles is like 18 or 19 overall, so Rivers was probably better, I'm sure.
Well, let's see.
No, Rivers only had 15 points.
Bortles might have had 16.
I'm looking it up.
I'm going to say Bortles up by one now.
All right, so Adam says Bortles had more points. Jamie?
I think Bortles had more points.
Heath?
I think Rivers have more points.
Dave Sauls for time. Bortles, 16. Rivers, 15.
There you go.
One-point game.
Brock Osweiler, right. 20.
Wow, it's a load of my
Carson Wentz, 23.
Such a good toast prepared.
31.
You can give it on the podcast. Carson Wentz. Now, look, 23 fantasy points. Everybody's raving about his intelligence. Is this a guy that we should pick up and kind of have some expectations for this year?
Is he playing Cleveland every week?
He's playing the Bears this week. He might as well be.
Chicago was a little bit better than I thought they'd be.
Either
they
that,
also got away with some lucky breaks.
They were either better or the Texans offense wasn't as good as we think it is. That's the part
I get. Is the Philadelphia offense as good as we think it is?
I don't know how good we think it is.
Well, let's just...
You want to speculate in a deeper league? You can.
It'd be nicer if he had Zach Ertz. Let's put it that way.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
but I was impressed with the throws that he made, and the intelligence is important.
He didn't look like Case Keenum.
The Browns would take him right now.
And would you drop Mariota for Wentz?
No, I'm not there yet.
No.
If you are desperate for a quarterback this week, Trevor Siemian has the Colts at home. Do you need Demaryius Thomas to feel okay about Siemian?
Yes.
I mean, and that's just to even consider Siemian.
Yeah.
They're going to run the ball a ton.
Yeah.
Would you start?
And to be fair, the Colts cornerbacks, as bad as they were, they actually played better than I think anybody would have given them credit for going into the game.
But they lost two more guys in their secondary.
I know, but still, they managed to cobble it together.
Yeah.
And maybe Butler's back this week. I don't think Vontae Davis plays this week, but maybe Darius Butler's back.
Would you start Wentz, Siemian, or Garoppolo over Rivers?
No.
No.
Okay. Let's go to the running backs. You know, Chris Ivory's still in the hospital as of Monday. Jamal Charles might not play, so, you know, people need running backs. Tevin Coleman, 59%. He is at Oakland this week, at New Orleans next week. Theo Riddick, 58%. He almost had three touchdowns. He scored twice against the Colts, almost had three, but Dwayne Washington came in after a timeout and scored that one-yard touchdown run. Terrence West, 56% owned. And Jalen Richard, three carries, 84 yards, and a 75-yard touchdown run on his first career carry. Let's just go there real quick. Would you drop DeAndre Washington for Jalen Richard if you were the Latavius Murray owner?
I wouldn't do that, but I'm getting close to dropping DeAndre Washington for just help that I need elsewhere on my team. Depends on if he's the last guy on my bench or not.
I think what this does is confirm what we kind of talked about in the preseason, that if Latavius Murray does go down, it's probably going to be a committee between the two of them. So
yeah.
Neither of them are as valuable as a handcuff as somebody that would have the job all to themselves.
All right, before we get into the deeper leagues, let's talk about the guys that were owned in less than 60% of leagues. Tevin Coleman, Theo Riddick, Terrence West. Heath, why don't you give me your take on those three guys, Coleman, Riddick, West?
I'm really interested to see, like, Osweiler for the quarterbacks would have been this guy for me in that list, and for it's Tevin Coleman for the running backs. I want to see week two if it looks anything like week one at all, because the five catches for 95 yards was one of the biggest surprises of week one. I expected Tevin Coleman to get a fair share of the work running the ball, and I thought if he was better than Devontae Freeman, he might actually win that job. I didn't expect anything like that catching the ball. If he does that again, I'll believe in it more. If I have to start somebody this week and I'm just desperate for a starting running back, I'd rather it be Riddick.
Jamie, would you drop James White for Theo Riddick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's still the Deion Lewis factor looming over James White's head.
Plus, and Riddick could also double as a goal line back. Not that he was in a certain situation, but he could.
And Riddick's going to get 5 to 6, 7, 8 carries a game. I'm not sure James White ever will.
Is Riddick, you know, kind of like Duke Johnson? He's going to get his catches. Duke Johnson last year, he's going to get his catches every week. He's going to be a starter in PPR.
I mean, that's what he was last year, too.
I think he's going to be a flex in PPR for sure.
He was top five in receptions last year from running back. So, and this offense wants to be fast-paced. You know, the fact that they gave him 7 carries is, I think, the most impressive thing, because what he did as a receiver is what you kind of expect. Forget about the touchdowns, but you know, the fact that he got the carries and had a brief concussion scare. He had to get checked for a concussion. So who knows? He may have done more.
All right. And who's the other guy? Did we talk about all West. Three of them? Terrence West.
I think you like the fact that, you know, what they did, the deli counter got pared down to 2. So until Kenneth Dixon is healthy,
they're running out of meat.
they're going with those two guys of Justin Forsett and Terrence West. And Forsett ran better, but it's not like he did a lot to separate himself from West. And so in a game against Cleveland where we just saw Isaiah Crowell score a touchdown, you know, who knows if West is the one that finds the end zone. So if you're just looking for somebody to keep at the end of your bench just to see what happens over the next few weeks, you know, Dixon still has to prove he's going to come back as a rookie, learning everything in the playbook from an MCL tear, you know, and who knows if he re-injures himself after he had 3 injuries in the preseason. You know, almost every time he touched the ball, he got hurt. So Dixon is still the best long-term running back in that backfield. But for now, I don't have a problem stashing Terrence West.
Do you consider starting Forsett this week because he's playing at Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly in the flex conversation. He's not my top 24, but he's in the flex conversation.
Deeper leagues, and this is really for PPR. Shane Vereen, he's 49% owned. 6 carries and 3 catches at Dallas. Chris Thompson, 24% owned. He scored a rushing touchdown. He caught 2 passes. Travaris Cadet had 7 targets for the Saints. 3 catches, 14 yards, and he is unowned. Who's your favorite on that list? Vereen, Thompson, Kadet?
Vereen.
I have to have a favorite?
Yeah.
I mean, look, Vereen had more fantasy points than Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley combined.
Oh, my God.
I just think it's very interesting. So 7 Kadet. Targets for Kadet, and we like the pass-catching guy in New Orleans.
Yeah, but if Thompson or Kadet don't score a touchdown, we're not talking about them.
Right.
Even with the 7 targets for Kadet. That, to me, it just tells me that Kadet jumped C.J. Spiller.
Kadet also almost had 2 touchdowns, though. That's
yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
I think the thing about, like, Thompson is going to play regardless. Kadet could really be interesting if Mark Ingram ever got hurt because they're going to use Hightower, but I don't think they're going to use Hightower in passing situations. So Kadet could be really interesting, especially when they're at home. Like, you're never going to trust Travaris Kadet on the road if you're in a, even in a deeper league. But in the event that Mark Ingram ever got hurt, you could see a situation where he could be what they used to have with Sproles, with Bush, with, you know, the dreams of CJ Spiller.
If you had to start one of these guys this week,
Vereen.
It's Vereen.
Yeah, Vereen's the best one by far.
I'd rather have Thompson at the end of my bench than Vereen, but I'd rather have Vereen.
Yeah, so have Thompson on your waiver wire because I don't think people will pick him up.
Nope.
Cool dropping Jay Ajayi.
Goodbye, A.
Easily.
No.
Darren Sproles.
He's got a clean slate.
Would you drop Darren Sproles for Shane Vereen?
What has he done, though, to warrant keeping on your bench? The only thing that he's done is hoping for Aaron Foster to get hurt.
That's the whole thing.
But who knows if he's going to get that job?
Because I can't say with certainty that it's going to be Damian Williams or Isaiah Pede.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the whole point. You can't say
what
certainly it's going to be
not
gonna,
so if I've got Arian Foster, I'm not going to safeguard it.
Are you dropping Cameron Artis Payne?
Yeah, you got to drop Cameron.
He's Artis. The same thing.
Exactly.
They're the same guy.
There's no difference. What? It's one thing like if you were to say Jay Ajayi looked good.
Like, I feel like I would
at
pick
points.
Up Ajayi if I had an empty roster spot and he was on my waiver.
Terrence West or Jay Ajayi?
Well, West this week. But then
any
I would
week.
Dump West. Well, eventually West isn't going to have a job in Baltimore.
How do
I know anything? How do I know that Antonio Brown isn't going to have a
I was so game. Wrong about Payne.
Okay, he's good.
And I had him on several rosters, and I'm absolutely dropping him. So that's I just think those two are the same guy.
I don't mind waiting another week on a Jay.
There couldn't be a more identical situation.
Well, no, okay.
Healthy
there's a, there is a
because
difference
they're not
here.
Good.
No, there is a difference. The difference is as injury prone as Jonathan Stewart is, he's no Arian Foster, and he's also better than Arian Foster. At least I
but
think
there,
he is.
Here's the reason why you can't trust Jay Ajayi. There's a reason they kept 5 running backs. 5.
Why? I'm fine dropping him. I'm just saying it's not exactly the same situation.
No, but it is because the guy that we expected to be the next man up is no longer the next man up with any certainty. So if Stewart got
but
hurt.
If he becomes the next man up.
If he becomes the next man up, then
you
I would rather
have that on
get
your
him.
Bench.
No.
We're not keeping third running backs with the hope they become second running backs. Anywhere
all right.
Else?
All right. Moving on to wide receivers.
The hope that he would become
wide receivers.
Okay. You're looking at JJ at 70%. And I know the answer to this because it's obvious for you. Kenneth Dixon's only owned in 30%. Who are you telling people to stash?
Oh, I'm stashing Dixon.
There you go.
Okay, guys, let's just go to wide receivers, please. Tajae Sharp, Will Fuller, you know, this is Jamie's priority list. Is this for rest of season, Jamie?
Yeah, this is the most prioritized position for the week.
Yes. Tajae Sharp, Will Fuller, Eli Rogers, Mohamed Sanu, Travis Benjamin.
You put them all in the bag, they're all relatively the same. In some capacity, some are better than others. In some capacity, they're not as good. There's not one. It was really difficult to say this one's the best of the bunch. But to me, Tajae Sharp looks like the clear-cut number one for Tennessee, and that's something I think you buy into.
Yeah. Let me read the names again. Sharp, Will Fuller, Eli Rogers, Mohamed Sanu, Travis Benjamin. Heath, who's your favorite?
I had Sharp. Kudos to Dave. The Tajae Sharp came through.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He's this is what he's going to be.
He got 11 targets.
This is what he's going to be.
Right. And this is kind of what I called for all along.
He's a 5 touchdown
guy.
He's a 5 touchdown guy.
I would rather have Benjamin than Fuller, I think. Maybe one more week will convince me. He will be able to do this from time to time because he has that speed. I also think he's going to have weeks where he has 1 for 20.
I already have Sharp on all my teams, so he's not available on the waiver wire in any of my leagues. I've got Fuller on a bunch of my teams too. And I look at him now. Boomer bust type of wide receiver. You're going to start him as a potential anywhere from a number 3 option to a bye week replacement. Some weeks he's going to be awesome like he was against Chicago. Some weeks he's going to stink. I almost think he's matchup proof because of his speed. It'll really come down to whether or not Osweiler will have time in the pocket to launch.
Right.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think if he's getting 8 plus targets on a weekly basis.
You know what? I think he comes close to it.
Yeah. Then his floor is about 6 or 7 points on a weekly basis.
Right.
That's the
which
nice
is
thing.
Right around where Sharp's floor is going to be, but I don't think Sharp's got the upside that Fuller has, which is
absolutely
why I would put Fuller ahead of Sharp.
How much fab on these guys?
I said in the column, at least 15%.
Yeah, I'd probably go 20 for Sharp.
I would go maybe 15 for Fuller.
The thing is are you the Allen owner? Because that guy's going to spend more. Because you need to find at least not necessarily a starter, but at least a guy you can be a rotation guy, depending on what your bench looks like.
I am the Allen owner in a 14-team PPR league, our podcast league, and I'm telling you now what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to trade Jameis Winston. And I don't even think it's a sell high. It might be a little bit of a sell high. I think he's good, but I don't know that any of these guys, none of them are going to be Keenan Allen. Nobody's making that case. But, I think, if you need to replace Keenan Allen, you might want to make a trade.
What would you expect in trade for Jameis? Just curious.
I would expect.
I have the trade chart open. I'm going to see if you're in the ballpark.
In terms of wide receivers?
In a PPR.
Well, first off, you're approaching the Cousins owner. Cousins may be a starter in a 14-team league.
The Rivers owner.
The Rivers owner. The Tyrod Taylor owner.
Maybe the Blake Bortles owner, too.
I would expect somebody. Well, first of all, obviously, I would expect somebody better than Tajay Sharp.
Could you get DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
But Jameis Winston in a 14-team league, that owner would be dumb.
Why? Right.
Why? I well, maybe.
I mean, is Deshaun his fifth receiver?
No, I wouldn't do it for Crabtree. I would try. Look, I don't think it's going to work in our podcast league because the owners are too savvy. But I would try to trade Jameis for like a Michael Floyd that somebody might be down on. Or I can't think of a good example off the top of my head.
Who would do that, though?
Right, no one would do that.
Nobody would do that in our leagues.
We're getting a peek behind the curtains of Adam Azer trade offers.
I think you make bad trade offers because people accept bad trade offers. When you start acknowledging the fact that fantasy owners are dumb, you realize that my strategy is actually a good one. So, like, that one is far-fetched, probably. I just couldn't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Would you settle for Tajay?
I would maybe make a Sammy Watkins trade offer and see if anybody's willing to do that.
Turn it around the other way. You are trying to acquire Jameis Winston. What would you be giving up to get him?
You're going to give up Sammy Watkins for Jameis Winston?
You know what I would think? I would give up Josh Gordon. And if I'm 1-0 right now and I have Keenan Allen, I would trade Jameis Winston for Josh Gordon.
Oh boy,
that's closer.
No, I think that's
like I don't know if you were paying attention to what Heath was saying, but Michael Crabtree and Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's where Gordon was basically ranked in that range.
Right,
right.
I don't think it's closer at all. I think it's just as bad as any of the other options.
but right, Crabtree was a top.
Like, I think you should expect to get more than that in trade.
What would you
Gordon?
Say? What would you say a quarterback who's probably going to finish somewhere 10 to 15? So I don't think Jameis has got that much upside.
Oh, really? I think Jameis is top five upside.
You think he is? Okay, well, then you obviously are going to be asking for a lot.
Right? Yeah, I do. And here's
I don't think he's got top five upside. I think top 10.
I think Andrew Luck was like number 7 in his second season. And I don't see why Winston can't do it. I mean, like I said yesterday, Heisman Trophy winner, number 1 overall pick in the draft. He might just be an amazing player that's on the path to a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he honestly might be that. I think he's a
great
player.
We'll find out in the next couple of weeks because his schedule gets really rough.
Yeah.
But then after that, it gets a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a hurricane coming, and then after the hurricane goes, the weather's great. That's what it's going to be.
It's probably going to take an injury or a bad year, like a Rodgers year, for him to be top five.
You're trying to trade the worst position.
Who's your other quarterback?
Bortles.
Yeah, you're not going to get anything in trade.
All right, it doesn't matter. This isn't about me. Let's go to other wide receivers. Philip Dorsett, Mike Wallace, Michael Thomas, Chris Hogan, Victor Cruz. Our next group of five is Dorsett, Mike Wallace, Michael Thomas, Chris Hogan, and Victor Cruz. Dave, break down that group for me. Who you like?
Dorsett's my favorite of the group just because of where he is and what his role is in that offense. And he's a lighter version of Will Fuller, boom or bust. I think Chris Hogan's going to have some good value, especially once Brady comes back. Can't do anything about missing him from the game last week. I don't know if you're going to count on him. He might be a little too touchdown dependent, but I love his versatility, and I think he's going to play a role in New England this year. He's going to be in single coverage all the time. And Michael Thomas is somebody who didn't have a great game in week one. Maybe people drop him because
nobody's dropping him. He had 6 catches on 6 targets.
Well, but I don't know if people look at the casual fan, the Gary Barnage owner.
He's not owned in that league.
Maybe you're right. In that case, then he's not going to get dropped, but he didn't have the big week one like Willie Snead had, like Brandon Cooks had, so people might get disenchanted with him. I see the potential in him, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I'd go Thomas, Dorsett, Cruz in this group. I was encouraged with Thomas. I know he didn't score a touchdown, but six targets, catches all six of them. He's going to play a lot.
Yeah.
He's going to get targets. I mean, he catches five or six passes a game, and he's going to have somewhere around 80 catches.
Does he play well in the games Kobe Fleener plays well in? Because no one should be jumping
off the bandwagon. Is Kobe Fleener going to play well?
Are you jumping off the bandwagon?
Well, I wasn't ever as firmly. I was like riding in a cart behind the bandwagon.
Right.
So I wasn't actually on it, so I can't jump off.
Right. I mean, he was my number four tight end, basically.
I'm not saying drop him.
No, you can't. I would start him this week.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
But another week like that, and.
Yeah.
It's bad news. Because he's still got six targets. He just only caught one of them.
Fleener played.
I wouldn't overlook Mike Wallace either. You finally got him back with a quarterback that could throw the ball down the field, and you saw the upside of that. So I think in a game like this where they'll take shots at Joe Hayden if that's the matchup. And Wallace had some success against him before.
Yeah. Are you excited about this group? If the Tajay Sharp, Will Fuller, Eli Rogers, Sanu, Travis Benjamin group is 15 to 20% of your fab, what is the Dorsett, Mike Wallace, Michael Thomas, Chris Hogan, Victor Cruz group?
This is the group that you let pass through waivers if you don't want to burn your waiver spot. So if you're in a league where you don't have to make a waiver move and you just want to pick somebody up after you're able to do open ad drops, this is the group you look at because there's plenty of upside. Dorsett, Thomas, all these guys we just talked about. Hogan, if you want to be patient with it and wait till Brady gets back, especially after he gets off to a good start. Everybody's running to get, depending on the size of the league, whatever charge receiver they get their hand on. That's the questions we're getting. Certainly Sharp or Fuller or, those guys just based on what they did. But I think a lot of people are going to overlook Dorsett because he didn't score a touchdown, even though he had 9 yards receiving. It's disgusting to say the name, but Brandon LaFell had a decent performance, you know, in an offense that needs him. So yeah. There are going to be guys available to you. So you spend, that's why I said only spend 15% on those other guys, because I don't think as good as Sharp could be or Fuller could be. I don't know if you didn't lose Allen or aren't dealing with the Thomas or Watkins situation. You're not going to run to start these guys just yet.
Right.
By week's injuries, you'll start them. But for right now, I don't think you're starting them.
Is there a guy on this list that you think reminds you of Dante Moncrief this time last year?
That you're overspending for?
No, that you could, that could be, if Luck didn't get hurt, you're talking about a guy you were probably going to start almost every week in Moncrief last year.
On the whole list or just the Dorsett, Wallace, Thomas?
No, the whole list.
Sanu, I think, could be that type of guy.
I would say Fuller. To me, Fuller feels almost like Odell Beckham.
It's one game. Yes, yeah, but he had 11 targets. That's great. And if he gets 11 targets every week, he's going to be fantastic.
Right. Oh, I'm not saying to put Sanu ahead of Fuller. I'm just saying you're talking about a guy who's kind of low-key.
No, I was talking about the Fuller, not the Sanu. Like, I don't.
You don't want to have people blow 30% of their budget on Will.
No one should. Right. No one should.
Okay.
What about Tyrell Williams?
Tyrell Williams, Davante Adams, Brandon LaFell, Nelson Agholor, Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder, Quincy Enunwa, Jeremy Curley, a lot of names out there for deeper leagues. Eddie Royal as well. Go ahead, talk about these guys.
Williams, I think, is probably the most appealing of the bunch just because he's going to see more playing time and more targets moving forward.
It's funny, after we just finished, before the season started, we finished our 24-team league in our office, and I said to Dave and Heath, am I too much of a fantasy junkie that I'm excited that I drafted Tyrell Williams with my last pick? Because I liked him,
yeah.
You know, and I was actually hoping
those sleepers.
I was hoping he would get through, not for this scenario clearly, but just because I thought he was going to be involved. And I think now his value kind of skyrockets a little bit.
The only thing I would say is I got a lot more questions on Twitter yesterday about adding Williams than I did Benjamin. I hope that's because Benjamin's ownership. Owned in those leagues, but don't go add Tyrell Williams over Travis Benjamin. I don't think.
You like Jeremy Curley in PPR?
Not really.
The slot receiver for Chip Kelly has been very good, and you saw it last night because Blaine Gabbert does not throw the ball down the field. I picked Curley up in a 12-team league that has 18-man rosters prior to week one just to see what was going to happen, and I think absolutely in PPR leagues you should go get him in deeper formats because that's going to be the norm. Blaine Gabbert does not throw the ball down the field, and you saw it. Who were the two best receivers for the 49ers? It was Jeremy Curley and Quentin Patton.
Yep.
And Torrey Smith, goodbye.
How about Curley or Cole Beasley? Because also Dak Prescott does not throw the ball down the field.
I would take Curley because there's more long-term value because Romo's going to come back and that's going to make Cole Beasley disappear.
I don't know if that'll make him disappear. It'll just make
to that
all
level.
Those targets
to that level. Yes,
right.
I'm sorry. And
his
and,
numbers will be cut in half.
And I wonder what the game plan was if it was using Dez as a decoy.
Oh, no. Apparently, Janoris Jenkins did a great job on him.
Yeah, I guess. But if he catches
the
touchdown.
Up a pass,
if right. he catches the touchdown, nobody's complaining.
All right, tight ends. With Gronk, Julius Thomas, Zach Ertz, all banged up. Do you think Gronk is going to play this week, by the way?
Oh, yeah, the Patriots are going to let us know.
Yeah, I think okay. we'll find out
right,
Saturday
like
or Sunday.
Right,
he
right.
said he said week to week. So
I'll text Belichick. I'll see.
They
what
bought
he says.
They bought a week.
Yeah, they sure did. All right. So Eric Ebron, is Eric Ebron far and away more appealing than everybody else on the list, which is Jesse James, Kyle Rudolph, Virgil Green, Vance McDonald, Jacob Tammy, Jack Doyle, and Austin Seferian Jenkins?
Way far. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Are you dropping Gary Barnidge for Eric Ebron?
No.
No. No.
Are you dropping?
But that's, see, that's the thing you do. If you're high on waivers and you have Barnidge, going back to your earlier scenario, you pick up Ebron and now you make some offers.
Yeah. Okay. Do you drop Jared Cook for Eric Ebron?
100%.
Yes, quickly.
Who's the guy to get this week if you can't get Ebron?
It depends on if you need a tight end for this week or a tight end rest of season.
This week.
This week, I'm going with Dennis Pitta.
I'm going with Clive Walford.
Jesse James.
Okay. I'm going to throw up.
That was not an inspiring list of names.
All right, so people might be giving up on Jared Cook. Do you think... I hate week one, because I know that it's tempting to overreact, but I hate doing it. Is
so
that an overreaction?
It might have been overreacting to... to have Jared Cook on your team in the first
place. No, it wasn't. The whole point of having Jared Cook is a tight end to start your season with. And if he makes gold early on, then you hang on. And if he didn't strike gold in week one. So if you want to move on, you can. If you want to play the matchup against Minnesota, be my guest. Go ahead and do it. I wouldn't.
But I think we should have been, and I'm guilty of this too. We should have been drafting Eric Ebron over Jared Cook.
We didn't know what Eric Ebron's health.
It was his health. If he was healthy, there was no question about it. You're 100% right. But up until week one, he wasn't practicing. So it wasn't until they got the calendar turned and he was back to practice. Now, again, if you were drafting Tyler Eifert, I don't see any difference in drafting Eric Ebron because Eric Ebron was going to play sooner than Tyler Eifert and probably had just as much potential this particular season. That said, to the Jared Cook scenario, and Adam and I, we just happened to be in this scenario, and I fell victim to it. We had a Packers reporter on our radio show who was glowing about Jared Cook. And you saw it in that third preseason game. Now, that was without Jordy Nelson. And you know what this team is. They're three receivers and don't feature the tight end
and
as much.
He will have a great game at some point. I'm sure of it. I'm sure there's going to be a Jared Cook game.
But he had less targets than Richard Rodgers, and that's the problem.
Week three, Detroit at home.
One guy I think that probably is a little low, at least in just terms of perception, is Tammy.
Yep.
Because I do think they're going to end up in a lot of shootouts. He got 8 targets. He got targets last year in his next 2 games at the Raiders, at the Saints. You could add Tammy and start him the next 2 weeks and feel pretty good about it.
Feel pretty good about it, but you could start him.
But where does Tammy rank compared to all the other names that we've batted around?
I would put him behind Ebron.
It's like second best.
I would rather have him than Jack Doyle, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Vance McDonald.
Yeah, that's the one I struggled with.
Virgil Green.
See, I'd rather have Virgil Green.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Virgil Green, too.
I'd rather have, because to me they're kind of the same. You got a quarterback.
Green got 5 targets.
Yeah, but if Virgil Green catches the touchdown where he was wide open that Ely made the amazing play on, you're not saying the same thing. Because the catches were almost similar. He would have had 5 catches.
And here's the thing with Tammy. His best game last year was against Tampa Bay, and we know that Matt Ryan does very well against Tampa Bay at home. So, I don't know. That's something to keep in mind. I think one of the big storylines coming out of week one, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, are we inflating the value of the Lions? You know, I love Abdullah right now. Theo Riddick is going to be a high waiver wire priority, and Eric Ebron is 50% owned, and he's going to be much more than that. They just played the Colts with a lot of defensive injuries, secondary injuries. They got more as the game went on. You know, it could be an ugly reality check for the Lions. I don't think it will be. But
well, it's Tennessee, I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
We talked about this though going into the season. The schedule for Lions set up for them to have a great start. And you saw it in week one. I think you'll see it again in week two because what the Titans did defensively is no indication, I think, of who they are because they faced Sean Hill and they just loaded up to stop the run. They can't do that against Detroit because Matthew Stafford will pick them apart, especially at home. So their schedule's great. And yes, they had the performance you were hoping for in a lot of ways. It will not be the same thing moving forward, but it's not going to be that much of a downtick.
Listen, I think if you're not inflating the value of the Lions, then you're doing it wrong because this isn't something that just happened in week one. Evan Silva tweeted out yesterday, Stafford's 71% completion rate, 22 touchdowns and 2 interceptions since the bye last week.
Yeah, he's been very good with Jim Bob Cooter calling plays. Now, I will say this. Theo Riddick's one of the most sell-high guys you could possibly find.
If you can get somebody to buy into it, yeah.
Right, that's the problem.
Of course. But that's the whole thing of selling high.
Oh, now it's okay. Now it's not an Acer trade anymore.
Well, no. I mean, you're selling high. Like what you said on the radio on Saturday, which I thought was the best situation, selling CJ Anderson to the Le'Veon Bell owner.
Right.
That's selling high for something fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair.
You're trying to sell Theo Riddick to get Le'Veon Bell. That's what you do.
Sure, why not? That'd be my initial offer. I got no problem with that. DSTs, the Ravens are at Cleveland, the Jets at Buffalo on Thursday night, and the Eagles are at the Bears. Those teams are available. Is there anyone else you wanted to mention?
I really like the Bills as well on the other side of that game. You know Fitzpatrick's going to turn the ball over a couple times. He was dreadful against the Bills last year. I think this is one revenge game where the revenge may actually be Buffalo getting revenge against Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then in really deep leagues, don't laugh, the San Diego Chargers.
Just because they're going to pick off
they're going to give up 30 points probably, but they're going to get a couple picks. They had 3 sacks against the Chiefs in week one. Jacksonville gave up 3 sacks against the Packers.
Bosa going to play?
What's that?
Bosa going to play and crash the pocket?
I think so, yeah.
He's activated.
Yeah. So I would say it's probably a very high scoring game with several turnovers.
I feel like that's a DFS tournament DST.
Oh yeah, they're the minimum priced defense on FanDuel. They're already in my lineup.
I don't know. I'm going to actually look at the ownership right now. The Raiders are only 38% owned. I think a lot of that was opening with New Orleans, so smart move not drafting them. But would you? They got Atlanta. They have who this week?
Atlanta.
Yeah, they have Atlanta this week. Would you pick up the Raiders? I mean, this was a team that, you know, had a great reputation coming into the year as a high-end defense or as a high-upside defense.
I don't think this is the game where they start realizing that. I'd rather have the Ravens, the Jets, or the Bills.
I would too, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Falcons collapsed here. Outdoors on grass.
That's possible.
Cross-country.
Yep.
Yep. It's going to be tough. All right, guys. That's it for today's show. I'm sorry we didn't get to any emails. We have plenty for tomorrow. I appreciate everybody listening. That's the waiver wire. Gonna be a big wide receiver day. So enjoy it. Dave, I'm glad to have you back, my man.
It's good to be back. I'll share a funny story about my ER visit down the line.
Oh yeah, I apologize. Do that.
Don't worry about it. I know we gotta go. So with that in mind, Adam, why don't you wrap up the show?
I don't know. I just don't even know what to say. I mean, look, what a week, right? Fantasy football is back and I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my blood. Just watching football last night, I tried to make it for the entire game, but I couldn't. But I felt like I got such a nice fix of football in week one, sitting there with Red Zone on one TV with another football game on another TV. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about? Wasting your entire Sunday sitting on the couch just watching the game we love, watching the pigskin get kicked around. I'm glad that I got to share that experience with you guys. I'm glad I get to do it every single day here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. I just can't wait to talk about buy low and sell high candidates tomorrow. You all have yourself a great day. I'm Adam Azer for Heath, Dave, and Jamie. This is Fantasy Football. Oh, wow, I stumbled at the end. This is Fantasy Football Today.
Azed it.